Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Malbro. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. You're going to get two more episodes of Drunkish. We got the April episode and the May episode are in the can. Me and Dave did them both. They are phenomenal. We did the Katrina season. We did the NFC Championship game. Glorious. I was so drunk, I was talking about hugging and possibly making out with Paul Tagliabue. Just going to throw that out there.
Even remember doing the show.
And we have Dave giving a fun story about how he was a pizza delivery person.
I don't even remember that.
And Dave was plowed. So anyway, but thanks for donating. Everybody donated. It was great. We got that. We're going to have a bonus show. So thanks, everybody.
Sorry, Mom.
So the Saints had actual news. Kevin, it's really yours and I dream scenario. The Saints are going to sign Manti Te'o tomorrow. The jokes are just like, I mean, he's perfect for the Saints.
He's going to do his late girlfriend proud. I hear he's going to send money back to her. Like they got the family set up a foundation on her behalf. So this is going to be great. He'll be able to do some good work back out west.
The Saints are a perfect defense for him because they're imaginary.
Yes.
So we have that going. But Andrew, as far as like, didn't he rupture his Achilles? The Saints lead the league in injured Samoans.
They do. That's a legitimately funny line. Well done.
I mean, like they got Te'o with the ruptured.
But based on that, I mean, signing him is a must.
Yeah, but did he? Is that what it was? A ruptured Achilles?
Yeah, torn Achilles. Yeah.
Oh God, that's a tough one to come back from. Like, but what is he? What's he gonna add? Like, what are they?
Well, I mean, I think on paper, you know, and this is before they draft anyone. I would view drafting a linebacker probably as unlikely at this point, unless they love Reuben Foster or something. But I think you're looking at AJ Klein, Danelle Ellerby to the extent that he's healthy, and Craig Robertson. Those three are kind of your starters, and then you need depth. And for whatever reason in the Sean Payton era, rookie linebackers, guys they've drafted, have just never worked out, and they've had success with free agent linebackers, or guys they've picked up in trades. That's Scott Shanley, Fujita, Simino, Vilma, Curtis Lofton had a good couple years. David Hawthorne wasn't bad. So you know, there's a laundry list of veterans that they've gotten over the years, and their three starters right now are all vets. So I think they
David
just want to go.
David Hawthorne wasn't bad.
Well, I just think they want to go six deep with veterans. And so, you know, Manti Te'o, Anthony and Stupar would kind of represent their backup linebackers at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they'll get rid of Stupar because they envision him like being like special teams guy, right? So,
well, yeah, and I think that's when you sign a guy like Te'o, it's hoping that, okay, if someone gets injured, he's the next man up and we don't have to replace Stupar on special teams. Because I remember there was one point last year, you know, where they asked Sean Payton, like, what are you going to do to fix your defense? And he's like, man, we're so banged up that special teams players are starting on defense and it's hurting our defense and it's hurting our special teams because then we have to replace them. So I really think some of these moves are to keep guys like Nate Stupar playing special teams.
Kevin, don't we want Te'o playing for the jokes? We really need him in the starting lineup for the jokes, though.
I'm fine if he's even just on special teams.
We need him. We need him doing something, contributing. He can't just be on the roster. He's got to be making plays or being terrible, so we can make the jokes.
Is he like legitimately like dating somebody now?
Does he have like a real girlfriend?
That's a good question.
They told him, they said New Orleans is great catfish. And he was like, ooh, that's for me. And they're like, no, actual catfish. So now we get.
Manti Te'o's favorite restaurant would be Middendorf's.
Ralph and Cacu's. So now we get to the fun part, the Malcolm Butler saga, which I got sucked into arguing with Saints people today during my lunch and
Stop lying. You're doing all of this shit during work, and you're not actually doing real work.
Probably. I'm not going to. So
at lunch,
we are
Ralph's company pays him like six figures to basically text me all day.
That is not totally inaccurate. You know, don't be a hater, man. I
want your job, Ralph.
Listen.
You probably make more money than me and do less work.
Well, listen. God gave me a shitty body, but he made up for it with a hot wife and a good job. It's a trade-off, Dave, and that's the yin of the universe. So, Dave, I think
you can't blame God for your liver, though.
No, that's all me.
That's all me.
We are a week away, Dave, because Saints fans are freaking out and Pats fans are freaking out. We are a week away from Saints fans thinking Malcolm Butler is Jason David and Pats fans wanting 5 number one picks. Where are you currently in the Saints should get Malcolm Butler situation? Are you leaning for it, against it? What are you?
I mean, I'm for it because currently I don't really feel like they've done anything to address the secondary or cornerback. I mean, have they? Have they done anything?
They've tried.
Right.
The only move they've made in the secondary is release Jairus Byrd.
Right. Well, that is an addition by subtraction, so that is good. But, I mean, they desperately need to start making moves, and I'm getting the impression
they're running out of bodies.
I'm getting the impression that if it's not going to be in the draft, then they've put all their eggs in the Malcolm Butler basket, and the basket is slowly starting to evaporate in front of them. So honestly, it's making me a little nervous. I think they should do it. I think probably more than likely, like I said this from the beginning, I might be like a draft day thing.
Do baskets evaporate?
All right, look wise guy, come up with a better word that describes what a basket would actually do that means disappearing or breaking up or whatever.
So Kevin, I mean, I know they say Bill Belichick, you know, has all the leverage, and Patriot fans are like, Malcolm Butler, he can just suck it up and play for $3.9 million. He's screwed. He can't do anything. But I want you to pretend you don't have to pretend that you're Kevin Held, but you're Kevin Held, and close your eyes and just imagine how much you make in salary a year. And then I want you to multiply that by 10.
And okay, so you make 10 grand.
So you're going to make 10. I can offer you 10 times your salary, but you have to leave your current job. What are you going to do to make sure you get to make 10 times your salary? Is there anything you wouldn't do so you could leave your current job? Because that's what Malcolm Butler is. He's going to make – the Saints are going to pay him $40 million guaranteed. He's going to make $4 million for the Patriots. He's probably going to get 10 times that in guaranteed money from the Saints. I'm thinking he's going to do anything he possibly can to leave. Like, what would you do if you had a chance to make 10 times your salary, but you had to leave
and
your
I'm
job?
Doing, and I'm doing the same job.
The same job. You just got to, like, go just across the street.
Elsewhere.
You got to go across the street to elsewhere, and your company is like can hold you to your current job at your current salary. What would you do to leave?
I would tell. I mean, I'm assuming Belichick is my boss.
Yeah.
I would tell Belichick he could pee on my face.
Andrew.
Like seriously, you're gonna pay. Listen, you want to pay me 10 times what I'm making now? Like,
Like, just give me, you know, just put me, just open up a kiddie pool. I'll sit in it. I'll wear some goggles, you know, that way it's sanitary for my eyes. And just hose my face down.
But like,
and, you, but, and just turn on a garden hose right afterwards. That'll wash off, and then I can just take my 10 times the amount paycheck and be on my merry way.
But I mean, like, if Belichick is your boss and he's like, Kevin, you can't.
Like, seriously, like, he can eat all the asparagus beforehand.
But I mean, like, what if he's like, you can't leave, Kevin? I'm just going to pee on your face every day, and you're not going to leave. You're not going to get 10 times the salary. Would you start showing up late? Would you start, like, you know, crapping on the carpet?
Setting up a kiddie pool in the middle of the office, putting on goggles waiting for Belichick to urinate on him. What more do you need?
Right, like you just said, what would it take? I told you, he's peeing on my face. Like that, like, you can't change the terms and say, oh, no, he's just gonna pee on your face every day and not let you leave. Gotcha. No, the deal is he pees on my face and I can leave. And make
that's
10
not fair, though,
money.
Kevin, because you're into that kind of kinky shit.
Yeah.
I am absolutely not. But if you want to pay me 10 times what I'm making now.
God, come up with something that's actually torture for Kevin.
Yeah.
Man.
Not so, something that he loves and routinely does every week.
So
we've got whole new show open audio here. This is great.
Yeah, we do. We got show open. I forgot to.
No. You can play that at the end. Play that at the end.
Yeah, you remembered.
I remembered. So everybody, stay to the end of the podcast.
Don't say what it is.
Just stay.
Can you just play it at the beginning, like in post?
No, because we didn't mention it right off the top. So this will be a tease. People stay till the end. So stay till the end.
A tease.
And
you just had to listen to the first 20 minutes of the podcast before we teased it.
Yeah. So just, you know, but like now they know if they're thinking of ejecting, they stay till the end or fast forward. So here's the thing, Andrew. This is driving me up the fucking wall. All these media people are swearing up and down. They're like, Bill Belichick's not talking trade. They will not talk trade with the Saints about Butler because he has not signed his tenure. And Bill Belichick is a stickler for the rules, and they are not talking trade. Listen, this is how they talk.
Whoa. Belichick is a stickler for the rules?
Yeah, like bullshit.
What?
Yeah, so like, here's how they talk trade. This is how Mickey Loomis and Bill Belichick can talk about a Butler trade without mentioning his name. Mickey Loomis can call him up and say, hey, Bill, what's going on? Would you be interested in our number 32 pick, and you send back our fourth for our number 32, and we'll give you 32, and you give us our fourth round pick back and something else? And Bill Belichick's like, well, what's something else? And Mickey Loomis can be, I don't know, use your imagination, go to pft.com. Like, this it's bullshit that they're not fucking that they can't work this out without him signing the tender.
Wait. Now, the Patriots.
But he has
lost.
To sign the tender.
He does, because Jesus.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
But wait, now the Patriots lost that first round pick, right? The one that they traded, the 32nd pick. So what happens if? So what happens if they trade and get that pick back?
I don't know. You just.
Well, here's the deal.
Do they lose it? Do they get to keep
it? The Saints have two options. They can either sign Malcolm Butler to an offer sheet, at which point the Patriots would have the choice to match that and keep him, or they could take the Saints' 11th pick. Now, I think we can all agree that the Saints would be crazy to do that. And
they
we don't
might
want
just
them.
Do it. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, hopefully not. The second thing that the Saints can do is, and I think this is a way more likely scenario, because I think the Saints wanted Butler. At first, he didn't want to leave New England. He wasn't too excited about going to New Orleans. So I think step one was getting him to New Orleans, getting him to approve it, and I think that's getting closer. I think Butler's close to being on board to wanting to come to the Saints, especially if they're willing to pay with what I think he wants. So that's kind of step one in the process. Then step two would be for the Saints to talk to the Patriots and say, okay, he hasn't signed his tender yet, but if we can work out a trade, like he's already said he's happy with the extension we'll give him. So if you can talk him, if you can promise him that you'll trade him, you know, if we can come to an agreement on terms that aren't the 11th pick, then you know, he can sign the tender in good faith. And then once he's signed, he has a contract. He can immediately be traded to the Saints for something other than the 11th pick. So I think scenario number two is way more likely. And so now that I think they're kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on a contract extension that they would agree to with Butler. And so now the ball is in the Saints and Patriots court to work out compensation. And then once they do that, presumably Butler would sign the tender and then get traded.
Okay. But going back to my question is, if the Patriots trade and receive a number one draft pick, but they can't use it.
Why wouldn't they be able to use it?
You're thinking of the fourth round pick where they got their fourth round pick yanked, and it's the highest pick.
Yeah, the first round pick they got yanked was last year, right?
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. You're thinking of the fourth round pick. The Saints gave them the fourth round pick, and because they have the Saints pick, they get to use their own pick in the fourth round. Okay. And what your question is like, what happens if they would send the Saints the fourth round pick back? Would they lose their own fourth round pick? I would assume so.
Yes.
Kevin, you are president, chairman, vice lord, or whatever the fuck of the Trade Down Association. If the Saints give up the 11th pick for Malcolm Butler, will you die from an aneurysm? I might.
I don't know about an aneurysm, but I may pass out due to just shaking anger. I'd probably hit my head on the way down.
So that might kill you.
You know what? Potentially. Let's think about this.
No, I want to make just random opinions and just, you know, throw them out there.
No, I'm all for the. more draft picks, but reality though, I mean, if the Saints want to trade their for Malcolm Butler, I mean, we know that Malcolm Butler is a good cornerback. We know he can start immediately. We know what we're getting. We have no idea who the Saints would draft with the 11th pick. History has shown us that it's a 50-50 chance at best for them to pick a player who's going to. And as much as somebody like Malcolm Butler.
Dave, are you really advocating that the Saints give up the 11th pick for him?
You know, the one downside is obviously drafting a player is a lot cheaper. You know, you get 5 years, you know, with the option at a very low cost compared to paying somebody like Butler.
Are you advocating the Saints do this? Are you lobbying for this?
I'm just thinking about it now, and it's just kind of like, you're using your 11th round pick to get a guy that you know can play, as opposed to getting a guy who history has shown us is maybe going to play, might have an injury
history, though, Dave, that
they didn't know about that's going to ruin them for the rest of their career, might be a quote-unquote developmental that needs a couple of
years.
There's
no way I do it.
Here's the thing, though, Dave. Given the 11th... On the surface, you think it's YOLO. Give the 11th pick for him because it's the YOLO season.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, that's right.
But here's the thing. Giving them the 11th pick is anti-YOLO because you're trading. You're not filling all the holes. YOLO is about filling as many holes as you can, spending as much money as you can now to fill as many holes as you can and roll with it in 2017. If you give up 11 for Malcolm Butler,
YOLO is giving up the 2018 first round pick.
Yes,
for Butler.
Yeah, that's YOLO. That's YOLO. But given 11, because if you give up 11, you're not getting a pass rusher because you're not getting there's a great chance you're not getting a pass rusher at 32. So
you've already signed AJ Klein and Okafor. You've done nothing so far in the cornerback secondary situation.
No. Giving up.
Were you going to? I believe good cornerbacks available in this year's draft. I mean,
11
is going to be available at number
11 and 11, giving up 11 and Brandon Cooks for 32 and Malcolm Butler is fucking insanity.
Yeah,
That is insanity. That is banana. And Kevin, I think Kevin, are you still there? You probably just like passed out the thought of it.
Yeah, I was breathing into a bag.
I mean, that's why
the YOLO.
That's why I want him to sign the tender as soon as possible, because once he signs the tender, there's really no shot that the Saints give up 11.
Right.
They could. I'll start with you, Andrew. What do you think on a scale of 1 to 10 the odds that the Saints would crack and give 11 for Butler?
Man, I would hope zero.
Kevin.
I mean, I would really hope zero.
Kevin, what do you think? Not what you want, what you hope, what you think
right.
is the odds.
No, not hope, because hope is zero. What I think, because the Saints have, they've pissed away, they've done shit like this before. So I'll say at least, 35% comfortably.
God.
Dave, what do you think? What are you thinking?
The odds that they would do that they would trade the 11th for Butler?
Yeah.
I think it's higher than you guys even want to think about. You've got Sean Payton going on the radio and talking about how much he loves Butler. I mean, like, when have you ever seen that? When has Payton ever been?
Dave's making a lot of sense. I'm getting lightheaded. I'm getting really lightheaded. I need a fan.
I mean, I really think they want him, and I think Belichick is smart enough to just hold back, and he knows Peyton's weakness, and he knows that Peyton's weakness is that he just gets fucking antsy, and he wants what he wants.
Locked in on a dude. Yep.
Exactly.
Getting lightheaded. I need a drink.
I'm telling you, I am dropping truth on all of you right now.
I think it's,
I'd put it at like 50-50.
I would say it's 50-50. The one thing is, though,
I'm telling you, it's going to happen on draft day. Peyton's mind is going to be
exploding
that he doesn't have Malcolm Butler on his team. And he's going to come to the 11th pick and he's going to say, fuck it, Belichick, you want it?
No,
and Belichick's
going to
be like, you bet your ass.
He's got to sign the – if he doesn't
sign –
he's got to sign
the tender, right? Yeah,
by
all right,
April
21st. Right.
But here's the thing. I think it's – the more I think about it, I think it's like 40%. I think the Saints are going to say to Malcolm Butler, sign the tender.
There's no way they're giving up the 11th pick. There's no way they're that stupid. Look, I have been one of the biggest
proponents of the Saints
picking up Butler. I've been one of the biggest supporters of making this trade. There is no
system corner.
I'm fine with the 32nd pick. Take it. Gladly. 11, I can't get behind it. I cannot get behind that. Can't do it.
How do we – so Kevin, would you be fine with 32, Mr. Trade Down? Would you be fine with 32 for Butler?
I mean
– if we get our fourth back and give the 32nd overall, then I'm really cool with it.
I can live with it. Won't be happy, but I can live with it.
I'm hoping that – it's either the second or a 2018 first. And I know a 2018 first is dicey, but if you're going to be YOLO, you got to go full YOLO. Because then you can have just all your picks, you know? Like, to me, the dream scenario is a 2018 first and the Saints get back the fourth from this year. And then you get all your picks this year. And you can just... Mickey Loomis can do crazy shit and Kevin can lose his mind on draft day as the picks get traded away to move up. Kevin, you passed out in a bag?
My eyes have
glazed over.
Grown. No, they've grown. They've gotten very big, like while you were saying that. Just like all of a sudden I think my blood pressure might have dropped.
Yeah, I wonder, like, you know, we got a whole month to the draft, but Andrew, I know you've been churning out mocks. What is there a scenario? I know the Saints have never done a significant trade down with Mickey Loomis, but what would be a player that would be there at 11 that would be just ripe for the Saints? They could get an offer that they just like couldn't say no to. that a team would want? Like, what would it be?
I mean, if by some miracle no quarterback was taken yet, you know, and so Trubisky and Deshaun Watson were out there, I mean, maybe. The other guy I would say is Leonard Fournette. You know, I think if he drops to 11, I don't think he will, but, you know, that's a pretty big name. If he falls out of the top 10, you know, because here's the thing, 11, you know, the top 10 is kind of considered like the best guys in the draft. And as soon as you hit 11, I think it's a really sexy spot because, you know, a lot of these players are like, oh my God, this guy we love, we thought he was definitely going in the top 10 and he fell out of the top 10 and he's number two or three on our board. We got to go get him. You know, I feel like 11 is that spot where people start to, you know, the phone starts to ring. So, I mean, that's a guy I would look at. The other, I mean, those receivers, you know, Mike Williams, John Ross, I think there's a good chance some of those guys could fall to 11.
Kevin, do you have your GIF for the Saints if they would trade down? Do you have the GIF ready, locked and loaded that you will tweet out?
No.
You got to come up with something good.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I need to make sure that I've got the right GIF then.
Yeah, you do. And you can't. Really do. And you can't just have like Ron Paul waving his arms. It's happening.
You've been talking about this for years.
Yeah,
Kevin.
I don't want Ron Paul with his hands waving. It's happening. You got to do better than that.
Well, I mean, do you want just the one? You want just one? It can't be like 12 straight GIFs in a row.
You can do like 12, but you can't. You gotta. They gotta be good and original. Like it can be themed and all that. Like you can go nuts for 10 minutes. But I don't want to.
Kevin,
like,
don't worry about it. They're not gonna have the 11th pick by the time the draft comes.
They're picking first, man. They're gonna be picking first. They're gonna trade away a second and a third next year for Malcolm Butler, and they're going to have all their picks, and they're going to just go fucking crazy and get up to one and get Garrett. Then Kevin, you need to tweet out the opposite. You need to have like a dozen tweets of doom and like a mushroom cloud and tears and crying joy. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be – and I'll cap it off with that picture of the dog sitting in the burned-out living room, you know, saying this is fine.
It's fine. Let me see. This is fun. Let's see.
Is there a name for that?
Yeah.
The dog with this is fine. What's the name of that picture?
Let me see.
I don't know. What has happened to our society that we communicate using
GIFs,
3-second moving pictures instead of fucking words?
Because we're lazy.
The fuck is wrong with us? Because this we're is lazy. Just I mean, another step toward idiocracy being
Salt Bay would like a word.
Yeah.
This is from a pat. It's from a. The dog doesn't have a name, but it is from a webcomic called Gun Show.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Who probably gets zero money or credit for any of this?
Maybe, but the guy that created this this comic, he also created his work has also been the basis for other memes, including Stare Dad, Mother of God, I'm okay with this, and probably the most well known for anybody that are any of our listeners, Dick Butt.
Oh, from Reddit? Really?
Yeah, like this guy's comic.
Created Dick Butt? Dick Butt?
Yeah, he created Dick Butt.
Oh, he's like famous. Even I know Dick Butt.
So,
you know Dick Butt, but you haven't seen Godfather. Okay, all right. See how it is.
Dave's on the cutting edge of culture. All right,
Don't lament society falling apart with us communicating with memes and images if you haven't seen Godfather.
It was a good run.
Oh, yeah, because that's why.
We have a few interesting Twitter questions for tonight. Andrew, I'll start with this one for you. This is from Braxton. Who do you trust more, Ian Rappaport or Jason LaConfora? Yeah.
I mean, I think Rappaport, at least there's some truth to his lies. I seriously think LaConfora at this point in his career just throws things at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
To me, Rappaport, you know, I believe that there is some truth to his reports most of the time.
This is from Brian. Is this a hashtag system podcast? Fuck you, Brian.
Yeah,
fuck
absolutely.
You. No, it is. It is a totally system podcast. Have you listened to it? Kevin, dumber move, giving up number 11 for Butler or asking Ralph to be your sober companion?
I think the answer is actually option C, is giving Ralph a list of names and asking him to pronounce them all correctly.
That is true. Who is the best Butler, Malcolm or Alfred? Dave. That's from Monadula.
That's pretty good. Oh, that's the funniest thing Monadula has ever said, and I actually understand it.
You know, the thing that another person said, if they do the cooks and butler trade, it's a service industry trade. So this is a good question.
Mr. Belvedere.
this is a good question. Dylan asked, will you do a drunk history on the 2011 Saints? I think that was
actually on our list.
Yeah, it is on our list. We might have enough Saints drunk history to do 2 years of stuff. Kevin, what would you rather see? Cam Newton get benched for Derek Anderson in week 4 or the Falcons go 6-10?
Oh boy!
You know what? That's tough. I'm gonna say Cam Newton getting benched in week 4 for Derek Anderson, because it doesn't matter what happens, because this I like the Saints' chance. The Saints could field a team of the top Girl Scout cookie sellers, and I would still give the Saints a coin flip chance against the Falcons. And even if the Falcons manage to go 10-6 or 11-5 or 12-4, they'd still blow it in the playoffs. So I'm not at all worried about that. So you give me Cam Newton riding the pine for Derek Anderson.
This is a good Andrew. What?
Wait.
You are a non-factor to me, Atlanta Falcons. Non-factor.
I think this is a good time to just remind our audience that the Atlanta Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the third quarter of the Super Bowl.
All right, Andrew, what NFC playoff team is going down in flames in 2017?
What NFC playoff team?
Yeah, is going to crash and burn.
Speaking of the Falcons.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think the Falcons are built to get back in the playoffs this coming year.
Dallas is going to regress hard.
I think Dallas will still be good. My pick of the playoff teams.
You want me to name them back?
I think the Lions will be garbage.
Yeah.
I kind of think the Lions, they won so many games
close
by field goal. Yeah. They've lost a lot of players in free agency. So I could see them being garbage this year.
Dave, if the Saints were to get one elite offensive weapon in the draft, who would you want it to be?
Oh, I haven't studied any of these guys enough to have a
Andrew, a you have.
It's
you,
not Leonard Fournette, I'll tell you that much.
Andrew, yeah, I mean, it's Ed McCaffrey for sure. I mean, sorry, Christian McCaffrey, his son. But we've talked about the need for a satellite back, and I just think McCaffrey would give an element of not only return ability, and yes, Ted Ginn does that too, but I think the thing with McCaffrey is, you know, Ginn has really, I think, can replace what Cooks gave you in terms of the deep threat and the ability to stretch the field. But what they try to do with Cooks, which never really took, which was the jet sweeps, the screen passes, just that element that they try to make Sproles do some of the, or I'm sorry, Cooks do some of the stuff that Sproles used to do, and it just, he wasn't really good at that stuff. McCaffrey would be a stud at that stuff, and so I think the combination of McCaffrey and Ginn would make you forget about Cooks altogether.
Kevin, do you think Belichick attends negotiations with his hoodie on and no pants, just out of view of the webcam when he talks to Mickey Loomis?
No pants, no boxers.
Yeah,
Magoots. That's a good question, Jutes.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's just, here's the thing. I think it's just the hoodie, And I don't think he even wears a shirt underneath the hoodie. I think it's just the hoodie and nothing else. And the second he turns off the camera, and like the bed is like literally like right behind him.
No, I think it's worse than that. I think it's the hoodie, totally nude bottom, and he's moving around on cam so Mickey Loomis can kind of see a little bit of it, so it grosses him out. And he, in the background, he's probably got like Playboys or like other things that distract Loomis, and Loomis is like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah, I'll give you 11. Like, he plays mind games as he's doing stuff with Loomis. That's my opinion.
I think we need to get the hashtag just the hoodie going there, trending there. I think that would be a good name for a Patriots blog. Just the hoodie.
This is from Preston. Wife and I just found out we are having a boy. Need name ideas. Me and my wife went to the top 100
names. My wife.
My wife. We went to the my baby. Wife. We went to the baby name list, and we started looking at like 50 to 100 because like the top names are like Jaden and all them. So I would
Jackson.
Do that. Or you can go with what was a top 10 name in 1904. And that was Ralph.
I was about to say
Ralph was a top name. Now Ralph is like 5,912 of popular names.
No, that's what I would do. I would look at the top name in like 1911 or whatever, and go into like the 20s, because like the top names in like 1920, like 1 through 10, were like Joseph, Michael, David, you know, all the boring shit.
Well,
but go in like the 20s and the 30s, and you'll find some gems in there, I'm sure.
We named our son Maxwell, and that is the number one dog name in America.
Well, that's good. Quality name.
Quality name.
Looks like LSU basketball just hired the guy from VCU.
Will
Wade. Yeah.
Oh, he'll fail. At least it's not Tom Crean.
And it looks like Manti Te'o confirms that he has agreed to a free agent contract with the Saints and will sign tomorrow.
Woo! Breaking news. Hopefully it works out better than Jairus Byrd. Okay, so that ends the questions. I did the questions first because we have we're not going to do too many tonight, but we're going to do me and Andrew. I don't know what it was on Twitter. When the Malcolm Butler news broke, people were talking about, like, who's the best corner in Saints history. And Andrew and me were like, that is a dark, sad position. Because, I mean, almost any other position the Saints have, like, you can come up with two or three either really good players or great players, right? Cornerback sucks. Like, it is dark. So we did the who's the best corner in Saints history. And we made this, Andrew, you made this bracket. This bracket is sad. Like, there's, like, six guys I don't even know who the fuck they are. I mean,
yeah. Well, the best part is that, you know, we did the field of 64 for the worst Saint ever.
Yeah.
And this is a bracket of the 32 best corners in Saints history. At least five or six of them were on the worst Saints ever bracket.
Yeah. Alex Molden was on there.
Yeah.
Did we have
Boy Cook maybe?
Yeah. Jason Kraft, I think, was on there, but we got the Saints corners, man. And when we get to the one guy, the best season by a Saints corner ever happened the first year of the team. But so Kevin's gonna bail, but we'll start with the bracket. We'll start with a couple of names. We'll just do a couple of the games because we don't have a 64 team bracket, so we got to stretch this out through the tournament. So the number one seed, Dave Waymer, versus number 32, Randall Gay. Andrew, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Randall Gay. I thought he was a good little nickel corner, but I mean, Dave Waymer's, you know, a guy that actually went to the Pro Bowl, and I mean, the Saints haven't had many Pro Bowl corners.
He had nine interceptions in what, 86?
Yes, which led the NFL
in
picks
like
that year.
He was a good corner, and then he went to San Francisco, and he was a good safety.
Yeah, and he won a Super Bowl with them. I would say Waymer for sure.
Randall Gay was a nice nickel corner for the Saints. He really was. He did some nice. He had concussion issues, though, right?
He did.
Dave, who you got?
I think I got to go with Waymer. Randall Gay was just a... you know, a third string guy. I'm not
I'd kill for Randall Gay on this team. I would kill for Randall Gay on this team in 2017.
Yeah. No, he was. I'll go with
Reggie Sutton, number 16, versus Dallas.
I don't even know these people.
Dallas Howell. That was the guy on the. Who? That's the guy on Fantasy Island or Gilligan's Isle. Gilligan's Island, right?
Dave, you're gonna have to either Google or just wing it, buddy.
Yeah, I had to Google Dallas Howell. I don't know. His Wikipedia page is light. He's a retired American football defensive back. He played for the New Orleans Saints 1970-72 and the Jets 73-75 in the National Football League. He was 6'3", weighed 200 pounds. He was drafted in the fourth round of the 1970 draft out of Grambling. And that's the extent of his bio. Reggie Sutton was actually really good until he started doing massive amounts of cocaine. Like, he could block punts, and
Sutton was what, late 80s?
Yeah, late 80s.
I remember him.
And he had the talent of blocking kicks. Like, he didn't do the leap, but he would come around the, he was so
fat. Come in the edge, yeah,
come in the edge, but he did coke and that was it. I have to go Reggie Sutton though, cuz I remember him blocking like 3 kicks in 1987.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer because Sutton was in the league for 2 years, and I think he had such problems with his habits that he ended up basically being out of the NFL after 2 years. But in 2 years, he had 8 picks.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he was a pretty good player. I would say, Dallas Howell, he had a little bit more longevity. He had 9 picks in 3 years. Mm. But he didn't have the I would say Reggie Sutton was maybe a more explosive player and would have had a much better career if he could keep his head on straight.
Now we'll go to the bottom of the bracket and
So are you picking Sutton as well?
Yes.
Dave?
Me too, yeah. Yep.
All right.
So we did those two. So we'll go to the bottom of the bracket. We'll do number 22, Vince Buck, versus number 11, Clarence Chapman. Vince Buck, he was all right. The thing I remember most about him was
Buck was terrible.
He blocked that kick against the Bears in the playoff game and ran it back for a touchdown, and it didn't count because he was offsides or he wasn't offsides. And I believe to this day, if that would have counted, the Saints would have won that playoff game. Versus Clarence Chapman, who I loved in the E Street Band.
The big man.
Dave, who you got?
Wait, so who did you pick?
I picked Vince Buck.
Oh, you picked Buck.
Yeah, I'll have to go with Buck, too.
See, I'm going to pick Clarence Chapman because Buck was terrible as a corner.
He was a
high pick, and they tried him at corner. He was god-awful, and so they just decided, let's move him to safety. And he's one of those, like, he's going to be better as a safety because he's a big player. And they made the switch, and he was even worse at safety.
He had no instincts at all. If I remember right, like if you built a corner, you'd be like, oh, he's tall. But he had couldn't find the ball and just had like no football sense. Like he just didn't. And he was a small college player too, from like Central Ohio or something.
Chapman wasn't a great corner. I mean, he was okay, but he was a good kick returner. I think he ran back at kickoff for a touchdown and. He was a decent kick returner for the Saints, special teams guy. He was okay as a corner.
Yeah.
But I would vote for Chapman.
All right, this will be our last matchup of tonight. Toy Cook, he's the sixth seed in the best corners of all time for the Saints. If that doesn't tell you all you need to know, versus number 27, Jason David. I feel like, and I gotta pull up.
Let me just say this real quick about Toy Cook. A lot of people like to call cornerbacks as a nickname Toast. He's the original. People can say what they want, but the original Toast is Toy Toast Cook.
Yeah. I'm going to go
Let me see. I gotta pull up the stats because it's. Let's see. He played.
Jason David did have 8 picks in 2 years for the Saints.
He had 20.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
You had a guy who was statistically worse than a hole in the zone, which means basically opposing teams had a better completion rate if they threw it where Jason David was coming. If they threw it to a wide open receiver.
I'm gonna go Toy Cook because in 1992 he had 6 picks and a touchdown, and I think that swings it for him against Jason David. And Toy Cook, he wasn't as terrible as people remember, I think. And his 92 season swings it for me. Andrew,
how many years did he play?
He played a lot of years, man. He played 7 years for the Saints. He played 11 years overall.
All right.
I think Cook is grossly overrated. I think he was lucky to play in one of the maybe the greatest front sevens in NFL history. And the amount that he got beaten and toasted with the front seven, with the pass rush that he had, with the linebackers he had, I think speaks volumes at how terrible he was. But he was fortunate, I think, to play with some great players.
Yeah.
Jason David definitely did not have that luxury. He was god awful as well. David, is one of the worst, I think, players in Saints history. I would just say Cook was mediocre or bad. But I think what swings it for me, I'm going to take Toy Cook as well. And I think, he's 7th in franchise history in picks with 16. So,
God, this bracket is so depressing. It is. So we did.
I don't know if Jason David is one of the worst players in Saints history. I think that's a bit much.
I mean, I don't know, man. His 08 is fucking atrocious.
Poor Jason David. I'm voting for him just for the heck of it, since it doesn't count anyway.
All right. So that'll do it. We'll continue the bracket next week.
How bad are Saints corners when Toy Cook is playing Vince Buck for a shot at getting into the quarterfinals?
Oh, my God. So that'll about do it for us. Kevin had to bail early, but go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got mock drafts up. He's got different interesting things up. You know, one of the most interesting things, Andrew, you've actually done in the last couple weeks is you did the thing where the article where you went back and looked at drafts and you were like, if you don't pick a pass rusher in the first round or even wasn't in like the first 25 picks, you're kind of not getting one.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 10-sack guy. So that was really interesting because people argue on Twitter. They're like, well, if they don't get a pass rusher at 11, they can get one at 32, they can get one at 42, they can get one in the third round. And your article is like, no, if you want a guy that's going to get 10 sacks, you better pick him in the top 25 or you're not getting one.
Yeah.
That's what history says. Well, that's all you can go by. So I thought that was a really interesting article, and I love the mock drafts. Everybody loves the mock drafts. So go there. Andrew's doing them. Gene's doing them. Brian's doing them. It's great. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave will post this podcast and maybe do a column sometime in September. That'll wrap it up. But you want to stay after I say goodbye because what you're going to hear from a drunk Andrew Juge is magical. So until next week, the bar is closed.
# System Corner.
Hey, Ralph, you know why? I'm sorry, I was at dinner and I had 3 glasses of wine, so you'll have to forgive me. But you know what makes us the greatest Saints podcast, man? You know why we're so awesome and why people love us? Dude, think about it. This team has been 7-9 for 3 years in a row. 3 years, Ralph. Loss upon loss upon loss. All right? And you know what we have to show for it? # System Corner and # YOLO Offseason. We bring our fans joy. bring the humor. Where would they be without us, Ralph? The greatest, man. We find humor in anything. The jokes, man, the jokes!